It's going to be a little bit of a simpler message because we have the picnic today and I want to get everyone out the door. I have to go out and do some things for the picnic. So we're going to make it a little bit quicker today. But I want to tell you, it's going to be packed with good stuff. Amen. The last command. That's what the message is today. The last command. Up there. Last command. So as a Christian, when I got saved in 1979. I started going to church in 1980. It was like December, January. I was going to church, and when I gave my life to Jesus, man, I was on fire. You know, I was like going down the streets, going hallelujah, and I was going rolling down the windows and yelling at people. I was so on fire, right? I was just so in love with Jesus and so wanted to share the good news that I felt. I'd had that encounter with that angel. I knew that the spiritual realm was true. I knew that God was real, and I just wanted to get the word out. But over the years, man, you get beat up. You know what I'm saying? You get beat up, beat down, and you just stop. You stop leaking Jesus wherever you go. You stop sharing him. You just slowly dim, the light dims a little bit in your heart, and you just, the fire kind of quenches a little bit, and you just don't. And so, you know, what was his, and so then I'm reminded, what was my last commandment? And we know it's the Great Commission, amen? So today, I just want to talk about the Great Commission. I want to talk about the last words of Jesus, the last command. Jesus gave us many commands, many things he told us to do, to love our enemy. That's command, right? Right? To love those who are hurting, those that are poor and needy, to really reach out to people and love on people. That was his command as well. He didn't sit there and go pander to the rich, right? He said, go out there and share Jesus with whoever will receive it. Go, as we said 2 weeks ago, and compel them in. So I wanted to share because it's so amazing the heart of God for the lost. And so I asked these questions. I said, what did Jesus ask us to do? What is our purpose? What is my purpose? Why am I here on earth? And what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And what is Jesus' last command? And so we go to Daniel 12:3, which is just our verse for the entire series. And 12:3 says simply this. It says, those that are wise shall shine as the firmament, but those that lead others to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Therefore, upon this scripture, we call this sermon, we said, be a star. You hear what I'm saying? Be a star. In other words, don't be someone that just has all the good stuff and keeps it to yourself, but bring something to the party. You know what I'm saying? When you go to heaven, you don't want to sit there and just go by. When people go to a party and they don't bring anything, you know, it's kind of like, okay. They do it once, you know, yeah, okay. They do it twice, it's like, Do it three times. Pretty soon it gets to be a pattern. You're like, man, you know, and pretty soon, you know, they're just bring something. So when I go to heaven, heaven's a big party. When I go to heaven, I want to bring something to the party. I don't want to just shine like the background brightness. I want to be a star, amen? And I want each of you to be a star. And it's not about, ooh, it's all about you, but it is about you. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, put your treasure in heaven where it doesn't get destroyed with moth and rust and corruption. He told you to put your treasure in heaven. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, that's the Lord commanding you. Put your treasure in heaven. Don't sit there and try to have a super comfortable, wonderful, awesome life. That's not what the Lord said. He didn't say, have your treasure here. He said, put your treasure in heaven. Christians in America, man, we're pretty soft. We're pretty soft people. And, you know, we've gotten it pretty easy. You know, we're trying to give away food. You know how many countries there would be a line of 1,500 people out our door trying to get that food? We can't even give away some of the food. Matter of fact, Pastor Clayton's even saying, some people just don't want food. They don't, see, and that's the thing. People in this world don't think they need anything. And that's why I'm concerned what's coming up next down the road. Because they don't think they need anything. And so they don't look and they don't seek and they're not trying to find out the answers of life. They're just living their comfortable lives. I don't care if they got, a tent on the street or they got a mansion up on the hill, if they're comfortable and they got what they want, they're not seeking anything. And that's a dangerous place to be. So what did the Lord tell us to do? Well, first, before I do that, let's put the John Wesley quote up there. John Wesley said this, a famous evangelist and preacher. He said, oh, nope, back. But there's growing in God. Okay, that's a good thing. You have one business on earth. And what did he say? What did John Wesley say? To save souls. That's your business. That's what you're here for. Other than that, you might as well be in heaven. Amen? There's nothing for you to do here other than to save souls. And let's go with the first Acts 1, please. The first verse. And so it says, when they come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So they're looking for Jesus to bring the kingdom, okay? You rose from the dead. Man, you are amazing. No one has ever done what you did. Are you ready to establish your kingdom? And Jesus looks at him and says, it's not for you to know. He said to him, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Has the Holy Spirit come upon you? Because that's a promise from Jesus. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Witnesses. The first thing he says is we're a witness. Witness to what? What are we a witness to? What is he talking about? He said he's a witness to his resurrection, to his ministry, to the dead people he raised, to the sick that he healed, and to the message of grace that he brought to earth. This is the first thing that God shares with us, is that hey, look, you're to be my witness. Okay? He didn't say, okay, now everything's done for you. Now just go and have a nice, quiet, friendly, good life. Go get comfortable somewhere. Sit back, be Christian. Don't bring anything to the party. Just have a good time on yourself, you know. No, he says, man, go out there and be a witness for me. And then when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a thick cloud, took him out of their sight. So the first gospel that we're reading here in Mark says that we are to be a witness. But what does a witness mean? Let's take a look at, Acts. Let's take a look at Mark. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at a table, and he rebuked them to their unbelief in the hardness of their heart because they had not believed that those who he saw that he had been risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name and will cast out demons, and they will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up serpents in their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. And they will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to him, was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. They preached what? Everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Amen? By signs and wonders. But what did he say you were to do? He said you were to go out and to preach the gospel. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. So a witness is defined by the Bible. So the Bible defines itself, is defined by proclaiming the good news to the whole creation. I used to love this because I used to say, man, when I'm out in the mountains, I'm preaching. I used to go out there and I want to preach to the squirrels and get them all saved. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, wherever God puts you, and this is important. God does shift people around sometimes, but wherever he puts you, you're to be a witness. You are to be on fire. You're not to be comfortable, but you're to go out and do what God has called you to do. Amen? As a matter of fact, I love what Oswald James Smith says here. Let's read that quote. The church that does not evangelize will fossilize. I love that. You know, we used to, the frozen chosen. Remember that? We used to say that in church. You know why they became the frozen chosen? Because they lost the heart to share the gospel. It's not because you're older. It's not. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how many gray hairs are in your head. You lost the fire. You no longer want to share the good news. You no longer want to do the things that God has called you to do. And you know what? You sit there and go, hey, pastor, you know, I'm sorry, that's true about me. Hey, it's true about me sometimes too. You know, I want to tell you, it's hard to fight the sleep sometimes, you know what I'm saying, that wants to come in my life. Because I don't want to share the good news of Jesus because I get comfortable. You see what I'm saying? And you can get comfortable anywhere. You can get comfortable in a tent on the side of the street. It's not about riches, it's not about wealth, it's all about keeping the fire burning to where you just leak Jesus everywhere you go. You just want to leak him, Russ, you want to leak him. You just want people to know the good stuff that you know. We've gotten so blessed that we're forgetting that others don't know that blessing. And so, you know, and so many times I have been rejected. So many times I've had people give me that look like, oh, Jesus, okay, whatever. I've had that happen so many times in my life that after a while you just stop doing it as much. And the Bible tells us to fan the flames inside of us. Now, not all of us are street evangelists. I get that. But we all are called to be witnesses of Christ. Amen. We're all called to do that. You can take a watermelon and walk across the street and give it to your neighbor and say, this is a gift that I'm giving on behalf of Firepoint Church, just letting you know that if you ever want to know more about Jesus, more about God, come visit us. I'd be glad to pick you up. I'd be glad to have a meeting. I have some friends that come out and meet with you and help you understand, bless your house. There's all sorts of strategies that we can use to reach people, but we have to be willing. Amen? So Acts tells us that we are to be witnesses. Then Mark tells us what a witness is. It's someone that preaches the gospel. Amen? Now let's read Matthew. And Matthew says this. Matthew says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now this bothers me, okay? Look, you just saw a guy crucified. You just saw him stuck a spear in his side. And now you're looking at him and you're doubting. Most of us never get a chance to see anything. Most of us don't see that the vision that Clayton had or the angel that I see. Most people don't see any of this. But I think that's going to change. I think it's going to change. I think there's going to be more things happening. Because God hasn't given up on America. Amen? And so I think there's more things coming. And I think more people are going to have encounters. But the Bible says that if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. The problem is that means that we have to draw near to him first. Amen? And some of us get cold in our hearts. And I'm saying some of us. I'm not saying some of you. Because that would give me an escape, right? Some of us don't seek God. We treat Christianity like a hope. Like it's a hope that maybe it's true, you know? But God isn't just hope. God is real. God is real. God is moving. God's touching people. I went over and prayed for someone the other day, didn't I, Ray? And they started seeing angels. Angels right there in their room. Angels. But you know what? Just one experience like that won't make it all better. You got to keep the fight going. Amen? And so, you know, it's so important to understand that God will open your eyes. But if you think you can live off an experience, that's not enough. You got to be involved in the ministry. Amen. So they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and what? Make disciples of all nations. So here we see witness. Then we see preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel to all of creation, and then we see, and those that believe will be saved, and then we see, make disciples. And that's kind of where I want to get today. We were called to disciple. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is someone that you're teaching. They may not always be your disciple, amen, but there's a season. I've been many people's disciples, right? Discipled by many people. I've had many leaders disciple me. I've had many people disciple me. Not all of them stood behind a pulpit. Some of them were just Christians I met, and they taught me a lesson. I'll tell you, young Christians are amazing. They're like, aren't you supposed to obey the laws of the land? And they see you going 65 and a 55, and you're like, yeah. You know, I mean, there's so many things that we can, you know, there's times where we're so tempted just to bend things, and I still go a little bit fast sometimes. It's just repenting and being transparent. But I'm working on it. At least I treat people nice when they cut me off now. I've learned that lesson. God said, I'm purposely putting people in your life to cut you off so you'll pray for them. Now, how can you be mad at somebody you're praying for? It's really difficult. My wife sees the conflict within me. You know, this guy, no blinker, nothing. You know, I don't know what it is about people today. They don't like using their blinkers. I just had a guy the other day just stop right in front of me. He was making a left, but there was no blinker or anything. And I went like, what's going on? He's like, No hand gestures or anything. Just like, what's going on? He was just like, he just kind of looked up back and just like, dude, I don't read minds. Please put on your blinker. I almost ran to the rear of your car. I don't even think his brake lights were working. It was really bad. So maybe that's why his blinker wasn't working. Come to think of it, right? All right. So I blessed him. Don't worry about it. I was praying for him all the way up the street. A little bit later, too. And then once again, he got a lot of prayer. So they were doubting him. He says, all authority, therefore, go make disciples of all nations. So a disciple is someone who willingly desires to be taught. Okay, so in a sense, you're all my disciples. But in a sense, I'm your disciple too. Because it's not about, ooh, he's a pastor or he's not a pastor. It's all about growing in Christ. Amen? It's all about learning. I learned my lessons from you just like you learn them from me. We have conversations. I got people telling me why I'm wrong all the time. That's one of the great pleasures of being a pastor, is you get told why you're wrong all the time. But that's okay, because you know what? The more humble I stay, the more I learn. The more humble I stay, the more I grow. The more willing I am to be teachable, the more I have to teach. So you know what? You never get prideful. You never sit there and go, well, I have a doctorate. I have this. You know what I'm saying? You never get comfortable in that. You are always growing and learning. So it's... Okay, there's some car with emergency lights, Corolla or something out there. Okay, thank you. I think there's only... Yeah, that works. Thank you, buddy. So if that's you, go out and turn out your, if you want your battery, that's all. If you don't care. Toyota Corolla. Okay, thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Mark. So make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Now look, it's not enough to make disciples. You got to baptize them. Baptizing, what are we talking about? You got to make them a true follower of Christ. Amen? So when you disciple someone, you lead them to the point of commitment. Baptism is the public commitment towards Christ. That's what it is. And you identify with his death, and there through his death, his resurrection. That's what water baptism is. It's symbolic, but there's also a hugely spiritual component within it. Amen? Some of the greatest spiritual moments I've had is either being baptized. I was baptized in the Jordan. I love that. That was a great experience. And I actually swam across the Jordan so I could say I made it to the other side. But I think I swam into Jordan or something. I don't think I went the right way, but oh well. Son, the Holy Spirit, teach them. Now listen, so you make disciples, they are baptized, and then you teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. That's where we have to know what Jesus commanded. And what did he command us? He commanded us to be a witness, to preach the gospel, and to become disciples, and then to learn to disciple others. Amen? And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen? So the three steps I want you to think about is, one, preaching the gospel. Two, creating disciples. Be a witness by preaching the gospel. Build disciples. Learn to disciple others. Bring them to the point of being baptized publicly, which we are going to have a baptism soon, and then teach them everything that Jesus commanded us. To love your enemy, to all the different teachings that Jesus taught us, all the things that he showed us to be, and that are so contrary to the way the world is. And then the last thing I have to share with you this morning is the ultimate goal. Jesus died for a lost world. We need to give him his full reward. And I want you to think about that. Jesus died for a lost world, and he wants us to give him his full reward. How many people want to give Jesus his full reward? He deserves his full reward. Doesn't Jesus deserve his full reward? Now look what John Piper said here. This is pretty interesting. It's the last thing I'm going to lead you with today. Go ahead and put up the John Piper quote if you have it, please. If not, I can read it. It says this, though. Let me read it to you. It says, and perhaps you'll get it up, but missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. It's not. It's not the ultimate goal. Worship is. Worship is the ultimate goal of the church. But it requires us to go to missions in order to get people to worship. So John put it this way. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship, read it up here. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Because there's people that God is missing, that aren't worshiping him. And remember, people think that God needs worship. God is sovereign. He is completely independent. He doesn't need our worship. We need the worship. As we worship him, he imparts himself to us. Worship is where we have that transference of God's goodness into our life. That's why I'm surprised so many people come late to church. Because worship is the part where God's imparting into you. And you need to be here for worship. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to beat you up about that, because I know that when a pastor beats up people too much about coming late, they won't come late. They'll come late and then they'll just turn around and drive away. So don't do that. Come in. I promise I won't say a word. But I do want you to know the importance of worship. Amen? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for today, for what's happening in fellowship today, that we're going to worship together in the park, that we are going to rejoice in you. And so, Lord, I thank you right now for helping us, Lord, to prepare our hearts for what you're about to do in that park. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know the love of Jesus, doesn't know that God is real, is doubting in their heart, I pray that Jesus will reveal himself to them. But you need to seek him first. In a moment, I'm going to say a prayer. This prayer is you seeking them. Amen? It's you. It's not like I say this prayer and I'm saved. It's like I'm seeking God with this prayer. Amen? I'm accepting his offer of grace. If you're here today and you've never done that, or it's been a while, I want you to pray this with us as we all pray together. Pray with me now. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you that someone shared the gospel with me. Thank you that someone was willing to face the fear of rejection so that I might be saved. Today, I accept your grace. I accept your offer for eternal life. Forgive me for my sins as I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Lord, make yourself real to me. I'm seeking you now. Thank you. Amen. If every head bowed, every eye closed, if you said that and meant it for the first time, if you really made a commitment to the Lord, I'm going to ask you to do an act of faith. Don't be embarrassed. Don't hesitate. But I'm going to ask you to raise your hand at the count of three. I want you to raise your hand high. One, two, three. Go ahead and raise those hands up. Let me see those. I see those hands up. Thank you so much. Thank you. Go ahead and put those hands down. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. People have had their lives changed today by the grace of God. Stand with me as we dismiss. Prayer team, come on up. Remember, the park starts at 3 o'clock. You can come early to help if you want, but there's not a lot to do. And remember that the food shows up around 5. The first 2 hours is just games and kids and softball and all sorts of stuff. Father, I ask that you bless this amazing congregation, these amazing witnesses of your grace, these preachers of the gospel, these disciplers of those who don't know you as well as they do. I thank you now, God, that you will empower them with boldness. Father, I rebuke the spirit of fear over their lives, that they will no longer be afraid to be rejected, but God, that they will be bold as lions in sharing the gospel. I pray that you will lead them to be part of our outreaches. Just 2 a month would be amazing. Come out on Saturday. Get trained. Learn how to be effective in reaching people. 10 a.m. at 10741 McVine Avenue. You can get that information from Pastor Clayton. And grab a watermelon. Take it to the picnic. But make sure you take a couple for your neighbors and hand them out. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.